Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
This morning I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth."
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. We have guests here today, and we want you to know how glad we are you've come, and we hope you'll return very, very often. You're always welcome, and if we can help you in any way, at any time, please know that you have people here who care about you and who love the Lord and love you and would be glad to be of help anytime you're needed. Many of us in this audience have found that to be true in this congregation, and we're glad you're here. Well, we're kind of starting in the middle of something we began about an hour ago. We'll review very quickly just a little bit of that to kind of catch up the folks that were not here this last hour. We began in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We let God tell his story. And we found that Jesus verified that while he was on the earth, that what is in Genesis chapter 1 is really true. We saw Paul verify that, that it was really so. In fact, we found Peter in his second epistle in chapter 3. Verify that to be absolutely true as well. The folks who want to tell you that this world has just been here forever and ever and ever and ever and nobody made it, and nobody made it from nothing, and it's all here like this, really expect you to believe a whole lot of, you add the word. Anybody who says anything as beautiful as this world, who can live through a springtime in Tennessee and say, nobody did it, I guess you think the Mona Lisa took place in a paint factory explosion. No. No. God's love is demonstrated everywhere you look. And we found his love demonstrated in Genesis chapter 1 in powerful, powerful ways. And we'll see more of those as we look along. We went through the days of creation, and we saw that in six literal days, God made everything that was made. Now, how could he do that? He's God. Just like Jesus could heal the blind, could walk on water. Hey, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that hath been made." That's the way John begins his gospel. He's talking about Jesus. If Jesus made the water, don't you think he could walk on it if he wanted to? If he made someone see, do you think he could heal someone? Why, of course he could. Well, anyway, we got to get serious here. We got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to discover how wonderful God's plan was for the family. He went through all this bad business of creation, and the first thing he did, he created a man. And that's where our lesson text takes place. God has the idea. He said, "Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness." You're going to be like God in a way that your dog is not, your cat is not, your canary is not, the cows are not. You're going to be like God in a very special kind of way. You're going to be in his likeness. Let him therefore have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and unto every creeping thing upon that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. I'm in his likeness. I'm in his image. You are too. And notice he's using it in the generic term, because he also calls mankind male and female. He created he them. Now today you hear all this stuff about different genders and all these kind of things and LGBTQ day, I don't know, whatever. Listen, God didn't do any of that. God made male and God made female. And that's all he made. Someone has said, if you tell a big lie and tell it often enough and stick to it, people will believe it. That was Adolf Hitler. And he did. And they did. Did you ever, Hans Christian Andersen, the king has no clothes. Have you ever heard that? Nearly all of us know that old story, don't we? About how these real shrewd con men come along, and this king takes such pride in his fancy clothes. Oh, he dresses up to the nines every day, and these guys come along and they say, listen, we make such special clothes that only the very wise can see them, only the very intelligent, and anybody who can't see these clothes is because they're stupid. And he says, boy, I want you to make me some of those clothes. He said, they're awfully expensive. I have to have a lot of gold, and you have to have a lot of silver, and you have to have a lot of silk. Very expensive material. Well, anything's not too good for this king. So, yeah, he gets them all that stuff, and they go to work, and they pretend to work, but they put all the good stuff in their backpacks and hide it. They come along a little later. Takes a long time. They're working hard on this king. It's not going to be like anything you've ever seen before. It's so beautiful. And he sends down one of his servants to go down and see how this is going. One of his wisest men, this guy comes down here and he looks and he sees there's nothing on the spindle. There's nothing on the frame. These guys are all going through the motion, but there's nothing there. And he gets to thinking about it. Does this mean I'm stupid? They say stupid people can't see this clothes. It's so fine. Well, I don't want anybody to find out I'm stupid. So they tell him, isn't this beautiful? Have you ever seen any pattern like this? And this guy says, he goes playing along, but no, I never saw anything quite that beautiful before. Isn't it exquisite? Oh, yeah. Well, we've been working hard, and as you can see, we're just getting started. We're going to need more silk. We're going to need more gold. We're going to need, oh, well, I'll go back and I'll tell the king, you're coming along here, but you're going to have a whole lot more resources. And the king just coughs it right up. But it goes on and on and on, and the king, there's still no final product. He sends another servant down to check it out. And this guy goes down and says, he can't see anything on the spindle. He can't see anything on the rack where they're working. But there they are. They're all busy, and they're working so hard. And they say to him, don't you see how beautiful this is? Have you ever seen anything this beautiful before? And this guy gets thinking about it. No, I don't see anything there. I guess that means I'm stupid. But I don't want anybody to find out about it, and I don't want to lose my job. So, yeah, that's gorgeous. Well, you report back to the king. Tell him, but we're going to need more gold. We're going to need more silver. We're going to need more silk. This is expensive stuff. And so they go back and they get any more, and they keep working. It goes on like this until finally the king himself goes down to see it. Well, he can't see anything on the rack either. Boy, I can't let my subjects find out that I can't see this. I'd lose my kingship. So, oh yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. He said, well, let's try it on you. We're going to have to tailor make it to you. So they try it on him, but they don't have anything in their hands. He can. And they said, this material, one other thing about it, it's as light as a feather. It's like you don't even have it on. It's because he didn't. And so it goes on like this, and finally they get it right and they get it fitted. He comes down there and he has all of his other royal compadres all down there, and they're all in their finest clothes. And so they go over there and they all play along too. And so he gets all dressed up and he gets it all fastened around, and his courtiers, is that what you call them? The guys that carry the long robe, they go back there, they lift up absolutely nothing, but they pretend to, and they all go out to march so all the people can see his new outfit, but all the people see his underwear. And this little kid says, the king has no clothes! tell a lie long enough, tell it loud enough, make it big enough, and anybody that protests, you squash them in a minute. We've been lied to, folks. We've been lied to. Now, I'm an old farm boy. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, a woman has a right to do whatever she wants to with her body? Now, I have pulled a bull calf out of a cow that was having trouble giving birth. And I'll tell you one thing I knew about that bull calf. That was not part of that cow's body. Is that real complicated? God made them male and female. And I don't care how educated you are, I don't know what college you went to, because I understand some of them teach this foolishness. A lot of them do. We have Supreme Court justices that don't know what a girl is. God made them male and female. Tell a lie long enough, tell it big enough, squash all the opposition, and they'll believe it. God made them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish." What can multiply? Well, we'll see as we read along another chapter or two what can multiply. We were talking about the next chapter here, and we'll skip over there at this time. Verse 15, we find it says, first of all, we need to back up because there's some key things that God does here. Number one, verse 7, and God, chapter 2, verse 7, God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I was telling the Bible class hour a little bit, or teach you a little bit of Hebrew. The word for ground is adama in the original language. That A sound on the end, that's because it's of the feminine gender. God took from the ground some dirt, and he took from the adama and he made a man, and the word he uses here is Adam. That's the masculine form of ground. God made a man from dirt and called him dirt. When you girls get real upset with your husband and say, "Listen, buddy, your name is mud, you're speaking Bible." David pleads for mercy. Ask God to remember that we are but dust. And we'll read that later on today if I don't take too long to get there. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. We'll get to that after a bit. You've heard that before, haven't you? Guys, that's how we are, is a handful of dirt. I was telling the Bible class, I heard the other day, you can sell your body for the minerals and the things that are in it for about $1.94. That's what you're worth. I sure wish I could explain that to these doctors that wants thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to work on this $1.94 worth of dirt. So he made the man, and then verse 8, he planted the garden. God was the first gardener. He planted the garden, but he did that after the man. The man was made outside the garden. That's going to be very critical as we continue in our study describing the nature of marriage as God describes it. He made him outside the garden. And it tells about the beautiful garden that he made. And it was a beautiful, beautiful place. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden of Eden you can freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. I was telling the Bible class, why in the world did God do that? Why didn't he make you just like your dog? Or like a rabbit? I hate rabbits. They eat all my corn. I know that they eat all my beans. I'm working right now getting my rabbit fence up to keep my rabbits out so I can keep my beans. But if I don't do that, they'll eat absolutely every one of them. Why does that rabbit do that? God made him that way. How many of us can remember, what was the commercial, the cartoon, Bugs Bunny and, yeah, you remember him? How much trouble that old farmer had? I'm one of them old farmers. Yeah, that's the way God made him. Why is your dog bark at cars? God made him that way. God made everything like a computer till he got to man, and he decided he'd make him in his own image after his likeness, and he would have ability to choose. And this tree of the knowledge of good and evil in that garden, so man has a choice. God wanted somebody to love him because they chose to. They wanted them to choose to. I think there's a lot of reasons implicated in Scripture that even the angels wanted to understand all this, and there was a lesson in it for them. But we don't have time to get into that. But I think there's a lot more behind our lives than we understand. And only in eternity will we understand a lot of that. Verse 18, then God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And that's about where we stopped in Bible class hour. Not good that man should be alone. It wasn't good. And the idea of alone here is the idea of lonely, depressed, unhappy, incomplete, unsatisfactory. God made men unsatisfactory. Have any of you girls noticed that? He made a man to need a woman. He wants a helper, someone, as I said before, the word the original means is the idea of someone to surround, someone to support, someone to nourish. All of those concepts are in that word that he uses there. And also the second word, neged, that he uses, it is a word that means opposite, other. It means mate. He wants a helping mate. He wants... the old version said, help me. Now, that's sort of what it is. But it's all of, that's how he described the female. It's as though God on that sixth day had made all these things so that the joy of marriage could be enjoyed by godly people. One of the kindest, tenderest things he ever did was to make us to need one another. Now, it's not helper in some kind of a lesser kind of way. I mentioned before in Psalm 54 and verse 4, David is complaining about his enemies and how they're acting to him, how they're treating him, and how he needs help. And he says, God is my helper. So I said, Patty had eye surgery this week. Her physician was her helper. He's not less than, he's more than. It's not Batman and Robin or the Lone Ranger and Tonto. It's someone above. When I'm in court, I need my lawyer. He's my helper. And it's because he's more than me, not less than me. And God meant us to understand, men, that we're to treat our wife like that weaker vessel, like that very precious, precious person in our life, our co-heir with Christ. Is who our wife is. And if you don't treat her that way, you make God mad at you. We'll get to that a little later on. But we need to finish this. So out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And so Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him.
Didn't find that in all the animals. A dog may be man's best friend, but that's all it can be. That's all it can be. Some of this crazy stuff that's going on now where people are going to marry their pets. That's not what God taught. That's not what God taught. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in the place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Girls, you weren't made out of dirt. You were made out of a rib from the man. As Adam came out of the dirt, he's going to have probably a lot more connection to the dirt. There are some characteristics that run between the sexes. We'll talk about some of these things more in detail later. The man is going to probably be better at reading maps. My wife can't read a map. If there's not a Walmart nearby, she probably can't find where you live. She always has to, I have to navigate. That's not her high point. Sometimes she says, I'm sorry, John, I can't do mechanical stuff. And I say, I wasn't looking for a mechanic, dear. Don't worry about it. I had something else altogether in mind. So men will do better with math in most cases, not always. About 80% of the cases, this holds true. Now women on the other hand, that one that's made for the man, like he's made to dress and keep the garden, she's made to dress and keep him and the kids. And women just have something men don't have. I think I told you last week about my daughter putting up those signs about the time feminism was getting going over all the urinals in the men's restroom. After God made his experimental model, he then made his perfect individual. There's a lot of truth in that, frankly. Paul Faulkner described it this way. Men are wired for 120 volts, and they got two antennas, and they're bent. Women are wired for 240 volts, and they've got antennas all over their body. They can read from the back. They can read from the front. They can read from above. They have a connection with God, it seems like, on things that, you're like the late Gary Smalley said, all a man has to do, God built a marriage manual in his every woman, and all you got to do to make your marriage better is ask your wife what to do. You weren't too far wrong, Randy. During the break, Randy told me, he says, I just learned two words that make my marriage wonderful. Yes, dear. Looks like it's working so far, you guys. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see. The Lord caused a deep sleep, verse 21, verse 22. And then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. Oh, wowie. Adam's seen some wonderful things this day. He's named all the critters, but he hadn't seen anything like this. Scholars say the Hebrew here is almost untranslatable. Kind of, but then here's what we can understand. This is bone of my bones. He's been naming kangaroos and cows and horses and, but that's not, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Something that
is similar to the Trinity in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As they are one, this man and this woman with his helping, completing opposite partner become one. God wanted us to enjoy the kind of communion that He, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit enjoyed. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Maybe the only time that the complete openness and trust ever was able to take place in a marriage was in this perfect marriage, in this perfect garden that God had created on that sixth day. Wow. Is He a good God or what? I don't understand why He made some of it so complicated. I don't know why God made you girls like you are sometimes. We're going to read a little later on, Rick. Peter, now he was married, remember? Jesus had healed his wife's mother, remember that? So he understands, but he says, now you men, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll get to this a little later on in the series, you deal with your wife with understanding. I remember I was, when I was at Norway Avenue, it was the larger congregation for that whole tri-state area, and we would have a lot of special series of lessons, and we'd bring in speakers from other places. I remember this one guy, really sweet young preacher, and I gave him the assignment of how do you understand. I gave him that verse, how do you understand your wife? And I remember one of the members laughing at me saying, hey, no man can really understand his wife. She still has things to learn about that you'll never know. And Peter just laid it on us. So that's your job. Wait till you see what Paul gave us to do in Ephesians 5. But anyway, that's where it is. That's where it is. Therefore shall the man leave his father and mother. There has to be that breaking away from the family. And cleave to his wife. These are interesting words. To leave means to sever eight times, ties. And then to cleave, the old version said, be joined to is what it says here. The word in the original is really a word that describes gluing or welding. Be joined to your wife. That's what God had in mind. You are one. You are one. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. Later on, we'll have to study about divorce. It is separating a solid unit. It's breaking a weld. Do you ever try to do that? If you use good Elmer's wood glue and they say you glue two pieces of board together, the glue joint is stronger than the board. It's a bloody messy thing when you break that. How terrible. We live in a world so fallen that the majority of young people, many in the church, think they can just get together and shack up and live with one another without ever being joined, welded, made into one. What is their odds of ever discovering the beauty and the joy and the richness of the godly marriage God had in mind? Do you know what the statistics are? It's almost impossible. And how we rob ourselves of what we could have had had we dared just listen to God. I've been in so many counseling situations with families like that. What hardship, what pain. For the children, especially for the children, they'll often think they caused the divorce. I'm the reason Daddy's not here. I made him leave. It's not true. The poor child is so upset. And the devastation continues throughout their life and often passed on to their next generation. Well, you know where chapter 3 is going to go? You know where chapter 3 is going to go, don't you? I don't know. How many days did they get to stay in the garden in their perfect situation? You know, I'm almost afraid that the sixth day, they were together. Seventh day was the day of rest. And the eighth day, the devil come. I don't know. I hope they got to live in that. I hope they lived there for 10 years. I hope they lived there for 100 years before the devil came around. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't take long now, does he? Our little kids, you know, used to they talked about pornography being a problem for kids maybe junior high. Now they say it's down about 4 or 5 years of age. If you let them have a cell phone, well, we'll have to talk about that another time. Let me ask you, have you listened to God? Don't you wish Adam and Eve would have listened to God? All the pain, sorrow, suffering, heartache that you'll ever know, even death, would not have to be here if we'd all just listened to God. Are you listening to God today? I'll tell you what, this stuff is complicated enough and hard enough that if without God's help, I couldn't do it. I couldn't be a Christian father. I couldn't be a Christian dad. Couldn't be a Christian husband. Couldn't be a Christian granddad. I need God every day. Because you see, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous person in the building. No, not one. Unless we have the righteousness of Christ. And he explained that. Before he left this earth, he called his disciples together and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. And he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? Well, I love the Lord. No, you don't. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John, his beloved disciple, said, if you love him, listen to him, his commandments are not grievous. I told you about mud on the rug. It was on my sock. I took my boots off. But I'd gone down, I'd promised someone some turnip greens, and I went down to pick them in the mud after the rain, and I sunk in so deep I lost my boot in the mud, and never thought about my sock. But I try to keep her happy. What about God? Do you love him? There is no reason not to do a thing so simple. I said, believe in Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. It doesn't take 5 minutes. If we can help you this morning, won't you come while together we stand to sing?